You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Who loses if there are fewer publishers of books? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, we have one of those mornings where the rules of journalism collide with the practices of financial markets. Reporters are supposed to confirm things before going with the story. Well, stocks in China today shot through the roof amid unconfirmed chatter that China might, who knows, may be preparing to scale back its strict anti-COVID policy. The Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong rose 5.2% today. The key index in Shanghai went up 3.6%. There's an old saw among market professionals: buy on the rumor, sell on the news. Here, quarterly results from companies that are thriving amid inflation are cheering investors in U.S. stocks. NASDAQ futures are up 1.3% now. S&P futures are up 1%. The guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve begin a two-day meeting today, with their big decision due midday tomorrow. Expect a big jump in interest rates, 0.75 percentage point to fight inflation. The 10-year interest rate is down this morning, below 4%, 3.95. A federal judge in New York has sided with the Biden administration and has blocked the $2 billion marriage of the publishers Penguin Random House and Simon & Schuster, Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
In a trial over the summer, the federal government argued that allowing two of the nation's five biggest book publishers to merge would create such a giant that it would reduce competition for authors and shrink the size of the advances they're paid. The government also argued the number of book releases would decrease. The presiding judge in the case agreed, issuing a permanent injunction against the merger. Penguin Random House said it would appeal the judge's decision. The publishing world has been watching this case closely, including some of the biggest names in the industry. Author Stephen King, whose books are published by Simon & Schuster, was a government witness and testified during the trial that he's seen the New York publishing world dwindle from dozens of companies to just a handful. The trial was at times uncomfortable for the book publishing industry, revealing dirty laundry, such as that most books are unprofitable and that company executives have missed opportunities to acquire what turned out to be best-selling works. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Our most recent documentary we watched for our Econ Extra Credit project is called All Things Must Pass, The Rise and Fall of Tower Records, about a place that became a second home to many a music lover, until the retailer collapsed under a mountain of debt, closing its last store in the U.S. back in 2006. Yet, there's news: a newly reconstituted tower, this one called Tower Labs, will open its first brick-and-mortar location in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn this Friday. And did you know Tower Records has been thriving all along in Japan? Nori Shioda is a music producer and owner of the independent label Steelpan Records in Japan, who says more than streaming, his customers still like buying music on a plastic disc in those little jewel cases.
Someone who have a record label like me, independent label could survive well because we still sell the CD too.
Tower Records in Japan still has more than 70 locations. If it couldn't make it here, why there? Tower Records Japan told us it's about keeping up with trends and following the vision of Tower's founder in California, the late Russ Solomon. But for more, we turn to Patrick St. Michel, a writer based in Tokyo. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, in Japan, Tower is owned by a gargantuan corporation now, NTT Docomo. That's the big telecom company over there. But besides that, you have a theory as to how this chain was able to keep at it over there?
Yeah, besides having that backing by a massive telecom company, it helps that the Japanese entertainment industry, especially the music arm of it, has been quite slow to embrace technological and delivery changes in how people consume entertainment. With music in particular, a lot of big companies and labels have always been really hesitant to embrace the internet or streaming. And as a result, physical media, especially CDs, have been the dominant mode of how people listen to music in the country all the way until recently.
And, you know, CDs, not cheap in Japan, right? You gotta, I don't know how much, what are they, about $30?
Yeah. It's about, and this is before, like, inflation and the yen collapsed in on itself. A lot of artists, owing to the industry's reliance on CDs, actually also release multiple versions, including deluxe editions that can go as high as like $50 USD, or like, I've seen like $100 sometimes for really special offerings.
And we need to understand that going into some of the tower locations in Japan is not like stopping over at the hardware store. It's still a venue, really.
Definitely. Most of the Tower Records in the country, especially the bigger ones in Tokyo, for example, they are offering you a total music experience. So, for example, if you go to the flagship store in Shibuya, there's a live space in the basement. And if you go up one of the 9 stories, you know, there's like a cafe that changes its theme regularly, usually to reflect a different artist or TV show or anime. It really sort of presents music as this all-encompassing experience, you know. And of course, they want you to leave with a CD or, in recent years, a record. But they also want to highlight so much more.
Speaking from Tokyo, Patrick St. Michel is an American who's got a strong career going as a freelance writer based in Tokyo. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our producers are Meredith Gerritsen Morby, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Erica Soderstrom, and Jared Dang. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.